I'm Chris. Thank you all so much for being here. This part of the evening, we're going to go through a panel and get a couple questions, as Kristen mentioned. So we'll just go ahead and get started. The first one's for Emily and Murray. What was the most difficult aspect about your first separated or divorced holiday season?
All right. I'm Emily. Okay, so my first holiday after my divorce was Thanksgiving. And I was not only experiencing loss of my marriage, but my grandfather had passed away and my cousin had committed suicide. And that all happened in about a six-month time frame, so I experienced a lot of loss in a short amount of time. My daughter spent Thanksgiving week with her dad and his family, and I was looking forward to the parenting break because I was exhausted emotionally, physically, and mentally. I felt good because I had a plan to work at my job quite a bit and then projects at home. But by Thursday, I was bored and lonely and sad. And I spent the day with my parents, and we were cooking and watching Hallmark movies. And I would leave the room periodically to cry. I missed my girl, and I had not expected to feel so lonely. That afternoon, I received several texts from my ex-husband and his family saying that I was missed, and Thanksgiving was just not the same without me there. Way to kick a girl down. A few Hallmark movies later, I convinced myself that loneliness was for the birds, and I jumped online to meet the man of my dreams. I mean, I'd watched it happen, magically happen all day. I filled out a profile, and I just felt sick. I knew I wasn't ready, and I was still a mess from my divorce. I pulled my info offline the next morning. During that time, following my divorce, and then the months following, I studied and prayed over specific verses on peace. The Lord reminded me that He is my peace and rock, and that Isaiah 26, 3 and 4 say, You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. And I knew from that point forward that I knew I had to make a plan. So I just encourage you guys to make a plan for however you're bent. If you are looking for a relationship or Netflix binging or drinking, anything. If you know that's what you tend to run to, then I would just encourage you guys to go ahead and make a plan now so that when those feelings and emotions come up, that you have a plan, an action plan to not do those things.
Thanks so much. Yes, my first holiday was Thanksgiving, and I did it pretty terrible. It was the holidays that I think convinced me that I needed divorce care. And I showed up, and I'm the youngest of three kids, and I showed up in Nashville, and I didn't have a plan. I didn't know what I was going to say. I was at my parents' house, so a bunch of people that I knew, my extended family, and so I was getting all of the questions and didn't know how to answer them, and just the guilt and shame just kind of kept mounting just the entire time I was there, and pushed me farther into a depression, and I was like, that was pretty terrible. My assumption and expectation going into it was, hey, this isn't going to be a big deal. I'm not going to feel this. It'll be fine. I'll be with my family. Come back to Dallas, and 2 weeks go by, and it's like I start thinking about Christmas, and I had nowhere to go. My sister went with her in-laws. My brother went with his in-laws, and my parents went on a trip. And so I was left like, holy smokes, like, what am I going to do? And still did, you know, was lost, was confused, depression kind of was continuing to mount, and my pride didn't want to reach out. I didn't want to say, hey, I need help. It was, I've got this, and I pushed away my family through that, and just saying, hey, no, I don't need help. I don't need help. I don't need you guys. Mom, Dad, you're great to go on vacation, and reality was that was exactly what I needed, and thankfully, through just loving friends in community, they're like, Murray, you need to call your sister and ask to come. That's what I did. And she said, we would love to have you. and we would love to have you with my in-laws. And I did. And, you know, and I did that for several holidays. And I have so today I have a uniquely amazing relationship with her kids because I was there for the holidays. I got to love on my nieces and nephews. She has four kids. And so I got to be an all-star uncle and was so thankful that I did get that counsel to reach out and show up and to say, I need your help. And then accepted it when she offered.
Thank you both. Next up for Kristen and Rick, looking back, how did you find hope during the holidays?
Glad you asked that, Chris. My notes here. I have four kids, and so going into the holidays as a single mom for the first time, I had to plan ahead, and something that I have learned just in leadership in my life is that at my work, your employees will correspond to your demeanor. And so when you're going through something crazy, and which I often did at work, me being calm and collected and this is no big deal would be reflected on my employees. And so my children became my employees for Christmas. And I went in with the same strategy, and I make light of it, but seriously, that's what I did is I said, hey, you know what, this is not awesome, but we're going to make this as awesome as we can. And so the perspective going into it is a huge part of coloring what your holidays look like. So if you walk into the holidays saying this is going to be terrible, you know, I don't know how I'm going to make it through this, my kids are going to hate this, you know, Christmas is never going to be the same, that's what your kids are going to see, and that's what they're going to feel. And so I really tried to be the one saying, like, this is going to be so neat. So we focused on really building, again, that perspective around hope and around joy. So we looked at building new traditions, and so that was my big thing was trying. I tried to create a new tradition out of everything, so from what we ate to what we did to late-night drives to go look at Christmas lights, which my kids to this day almost every weekend from Thanksgiving to Christmas expect that we're going to be out looking at Christmas lights, finding new neighborhoods to go to. But we just found ways to make the holidays special. Just like many of you are looking at your lives and saying, hey, you know, the way we define family may be different now, but we're still family. The same thing with us. The way we define traditions may look different, but we're still going to have awesome traditions. One of those that as a single parent I think was really helpful was around gifting. And so I know that as you, you know, decipher and think about gifting, it looks different. And so, again, I don't like the part of the video where they said, you know, we just decided to go with nothing or asked. You know, we changed the way we talked about it. We, my kids get to choose four gifts every Christmas. So they get, you know, something you want, which is like their, you know, real toy gift, whatever. Something you need, which is normally shoes, because my kids run through shoes like crazy. Something to wear, which is normally a sweater or shirt, and then something to read. And so they get four gifts. And I can tell you guys, the first time we did that, I was nervous as all get up. My brother and my sister-in-law were at the house. They'd come down for Christmas to be with us. And they had brought more gifts for my niece than my four kids put together. And I was praying the whole time the night before, like, Lord, please don't let my kids wake up and feel less loved or less important or less cared for or special. And my kids opened their gift, their want gift, and they're like, this is awesome, and ran off playing with it. And not to talk about, my niece actually had a breakdown about one of the gifts that she had. So this is a sweet way of the Lord telling me, like, it's okay. But I'll tell you, my kids have really adapted to it, and it's great for me to be able to plan ahead, as they mentioned, is a great one. So that's one of the traditions that we took. And then, you know, this year, looking for hope, this year is going to be a little different for me. This will be the first year that my kids are actually spending with their dad for the week of Christmas. The first few years, they didn't spend any time with their dad. And again, perspective-wise, I was talking to a group of ladies that I was in divorce care with, and I am so thankful and blessed that my kid's dad want to spend a Christmas with them. And because I've been through Christmases where they didn't have that connection with them, I can look at it, and it's so sweet not to look at it with jealousy or upset that I don't get Christmas morning or anything like that, and just to say, man, I am I'm so blessed that my kids are going to wake up and their dad's going to be there and excited about what they're getting and getting to look at. And we're going to do Christmas another day because the 25th isn't even the day Jesus was born. So I've told him that too. So that's kind of where it is. You know, for us, it's just, again, about perspective, making it fun, making it exciting, and realizing that it's not about the things, that it really is about the time that we spend together. So.
Okay. Again, that question was, how did I find hope for the holidays, my first Christmas? I'll talk about Christmas after my divorce. I mean, today I would answer that I find hope through my relationship with Christ, but unfortunately, when I got divorced, I wasn't a follower of Jesus Christ. So to get through the holidays after my divorce, I ended up relying a lot on self-talk. I kept reminding myself that divorce was not the end of my life. It was not the end of my family. It was not the end of my happiness, and it was not the end of my holidays. So I decided my holidays might look different than they did before, but I was going to celebrate them anyway. Although I had primary custody of my kids, my first Christmas after the divorce, since I had them all the time, my ex lived in a different state. She flew them to Tennessee at the time. And that was my first Christmas alone. So I decided that I was going to do something different, that we'd start a new family tradition. You've heard that on the videos and amongst the panel here. But the new family tradition I decided on was that before they left, we would have a Christmas tree decorating party. Pardon my notes here. But anyway, my family has continued that new tradition for the last 23 years. In fact, it's evolved into the highlight of my family's Christmas season. The reason that is, between my wife and I, we have 5 kids, and they're all married, so there's 10 kids, and then we have 10 more grandkids. But one thing you all will learn, you that have younger children, is that once they get to be an adult and they get married, you don't get them every Christmas. The in-laws get them. So by doing a Christmas tree decorating party, we would usually do it the last weekend in November, first weekend in December. Well, everyone was still, all my kids live in town, and everyone's still working. They haven't left for the in-laws yet. So by having that Christmas tree decorating party, everybody, all my kids, all my grandkids, they all come over. And I mean, it's just great. The first one we had years ago, there were 6 people. It was me, my 3 kids, and my parents. Last year's party, we had 25 people. And boy, I mean, we have so much fun. Let me just tell you what we do. It's evolved into this. We get everyone over. And like I said, it's usually, it's at the start of the Christmas season. But everyone is there. No one ever misses that. But we decorate our Christmas tree, we hang the grandkids' stockings on the fireplace, we listen to Christmas music, we enjoy lots of Christmas beverages, I make my world-famous chili, we eat lots of Christmas cookies and dessert, Grandpa, that's me, reads the Christmas story from the second chapter of Luke, we draw names for giving Christmas gifts later. Obviously, with a big family, that's necessary. And most important of all, we take our annual family Christmas photo, and then we all use that for our Christmas cards. We have a techie, and my stepdaughter, she gets us all Christmas cards within 3 days. But think about it. All that started from something I did, well, think about this. All of this started from something that I decided I was going to do the first Christmas without my kids. So I want to leave you with these 2 thoughts. One, your holidays this year will be as happy as you decide to make them. And the second thing, and trust me, new traditions can become your favorite traditions. So don't be scared of them.
And adding on to that, something I didn't write down in my notes. I'm just playing. But they did talk about in the video and the opportunity to serve, guys, if you do find yourself alone for any of the holidays. There is blessing in serving others. And so if you are that person, whether it be Thanksgiving or Christmas. You know, partner up with other people that maybe don't have something to do. Reach out to other people either in this group or from your other circles, and spend time together and serve others. So,
that's awesome. Anything else, Rick? Great. So from here, ladies, y'all are going to gather on this end of the room for some small group time. I think we have some friends from Plano. If that is the case, you guys are in the room across the hall. So walk out these doors, walk dead straight, and go into the doors directly across from here, and there's a room over there. And guys, we're going to circle up in on this end in these two, kind of one of these tables and this other circular. But y'all, thank y'all so much for coming over the last 12 weeks. If there's anything that we can do to serve you, to love you, pray for you, give guidance, please, please reach out. We want to do whatever we can, especially over the next couple of weeks. If there's any pointers, if y'all want to talk to anyone, reach out to your direct leaders. I know they would love to, or connect you with somebody that would love to get together with you. And so I'll pray, and then we'll break out. Lord, thank you for being just a good God, and thank you for a God that loves us and that wants good things for us. Thank you for a God that redeems and heals. And Lord, I pray that as we go into this season and the hardness and the newness and the change and the differences, and just as we mourn the loss of dreams and old traditions, Lord, that we will just see your goodness in it, that we will look to find new traditions, Lord, that we will make plans, that we will reach out to those that love us, that we will ask for help, and then we will accept that help, Lord, and all the while knowing that you're good, and that is provision from you. Lord, be with us as we enter our small groups, that this will be encouraging to one another, that will be honoring to you. Lord, we love you, and then we pray. Amen.